Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
What was the song that Shania Twain sang? Whose bed have your boots been under? This is the which Brewer's pants did Tausch leave with yesterday from AmFam Field edition. Tausch was on the big screen video board at AmFam Field, and so was Riley Yauch edition. And it's the final day of the off-season program. Practice number 3 of the mandatory minicamp, which Matt LaFleur has moved up by a half hour without consulting me and how that affects my job. Not that I expect him to do it. Is going to get underway at 10 a.m. edition. So I'll miss the stretch and some other photo opportunities. Of Wilde and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming, live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson, after going on the road trip with Old T to AmFam Field, is back in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios and from his undisclosed location. It is the aforementioned Packers Hall of Famer. It is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. Mr. Jumbotron, how we doing?
I'm all right. You know how I said school should be out and stuff like that? I am not.
You
in
want
a good
to send them
right
back
now.
Already?
I don't know if I want to send them back, but I like that consistency to the day when the kids were in school, and now it just everything's jumbled. I don't know if other parents feel this way, because school's not even out. It's like Sun Prairie schools are done. I think today, and I'm already feeling like, man, this is gonna be just a jumbled like blah. We got this. It just everything is jumbled already, and
so
I don't
got that
love
calendar
that feeling. The skylight calendar is. I don't like that either. I don't like it. There's just. I'm rattled. I'm not gonna lie. I'm rattled this morning. I'm rattled.
Does that mean today's the 1 year anniversary of the Big O and the baseball game and the eighth grade graduation?
No, that would have been like a week or two. I gave the commencement speech at the exact same graduation 1 year later, and I think that maybe was last week. at this time.
Hard to keep
track. I
want to
say it was last week.
Everything going on.
Tuesday or Wednesday. I can't keep track. I'm just really discombobulated. And I don't love that feeling. That's not where I like living.
Okay. How do you feel like that's going to affect your performance today?
Oh, I'm a pro. You know I'm a pro. I'll be fine. But I'm just telling you where my head's at.
Total pros.
Listen, man, I want to make sure I tell our audience where my head's at. I think sometimes you conceal things. I want to make sure I'm open and honest with our audience. So that's where I'm at today.
That seemed unnecessary. Well, we're happy to have you back.
The big concealer.
The big concealer. Even if you're a little discombobulated.
I'll be all right. You know how that is, man. All of a sudden, your kids, you go from dumping them off at school, and then you kind of got your day, and I've got to figure this part out after school. Now, it basically is everything. You don't know when what stuff's going on, and there's more stuff than actually when you actually just had them in school.
So I am here to say that you are 1,000% right. We've got performance training. Maddie was going for a run.
Yeah, and your kids are world-class athletes. My kids are just out here trying to hang in. You know what I mean? So it's a little different. We have different
Can you just let me agree with you instead of being snarky McSnarkerson, please?
I'm not even being snarky. You have elite training and golf and tennis.
Golf match
so
tomorrow.
I can't even fathom what our schedule would look like if it was like
summer
that.
Summer league basketball
and
last night. Summer league volleyball tonight. We had a big big banquet for the track and field season. Yeah, we got a lot on our plate.
Tausch is struggling to parent when the kids come home at noon and want to watch TV for the afternoon.
That's not true, Jesse.
I'm not here to cast aspersions. All I'm saying is I totally feel your pain. Now, again, this has been discussed many, many, many times on this show. Not the calendar that you have. You have a fancy schmancy electronic one. We have Paula actually takes poster board and creates one because we're old people that just prefer written items, and then we run down each day at the start of the day. But luckily, we both have wives that keep all the runners on base, so to speak. So we just have to find out what our responsibilities are and carry them out. So no one here is complaining. No one here is a world-class athlete. You once were. You're not anymore.
I am complaining. I don't know where you didn't get that I was complaining. I am complaining.
Okay. I was trying to help you there. How was your trip to AmFam Field yesterday?
It was fantastic.
Photos of you in the booth. Did you take them with you? I want to know all about it.
I didn't steal anything. I was given a cribbage board. That's not how it works. I think at some point I will get a copy or the prints of me and Prince. I'm hoping that we can work that out. But yeah, it was an awesome day. The hospitality of the Milwaukee Brewers, both for Jesse and I with the show, the fact that they went through the effort to go to the archives and get those pictures and then put them up in the bin. And, it just was awesome. And then we got down on the field. There's a couple of partners that were down, and they were able to meet up with, we got to meet some of the players. And awesome day.
Who'd you meet? Details.
Well, Baldwin for the Braves is
last
one of the players.
Baldwin.
Drake Baldwin.
Yeah, Drake Baldwin. I don't think you have any clue. I don't want to get into it. I'm not going to be mean.
You're right.
Yes, he is a catcher.
I don't know who
he
is.
No, he's a catcher for the... I know you don't. That's why I didn't really think I needed to get into great detail.
You didn't know his first name either.
All right. Jesse, why don't you tell him?
Oh, no.
It's going to be one of those days. It's going to be one of those days. I want to make sure I'm good for 3 hours. I can't deal with this at 9:09. So, Jesse, he's a Madison guy.
Yeah. So, Drake Baldwin went to Madison West High School. He's an alum of the GRB Academy, the GRB Rays program. Great partner
of
ESPN Madison.
GRB is a great partner. From the jump, I think, of ESPN Madison.
Been involved with our Prep Mania coverage for a very long time. Drake Baldwin actually appeared with Dennis Semrau and I when he played at Missouri State University in the Missouri Valley Conference. He was a great baseball player for the Bears a number of years ago, and he has made it to the major league level. He was hitting in the two-hole yesterday, had a big contingency of Madison West fans on Monday night when he had a hit that went off the wall, and they were going nuts. It almost sounded like Cubs fans had invaded the stadium because there were so many Madison West fans and friends of his and family members that were cheering him on. And then yesterday, the GRB Rays program, they were there and got a chance to meet him on the field. It was really cool beforehand. So we got to see that and experience it from where we were up in the booth. Pretty cool morning for a bunch of those kids.
They got to go over and do some other stuff, go do the slide, and then they got to hang out in the Brewers dugout. I think Drake had given a jersey to one of the kids. So it was just a really fun day. And then this is where it got a little goofy. So the game is going to start. We have seats. We have some seats in the 100 level. We have some seats in the 200. There was a group of about 25 of us that were here. And it was hot out. It was really hot out. And if you go to a day game at AmFam Field, you sit in that sun, you get a little bakey. You get a little bakey. So I ended up kind of deciding, because I don't know what I was thinking, I had a Wisconsin vest on with a long, like a nice dry fit long sleeve shirt. And it was too hot. Like, Old T got too hot. So Max and I went back to where we did the show, which was it's the best place to watch the game too. You're right behind home plate. You're low. You can see everything. It's air conditioned. You can open the windows. Let a little air come in.
It's called the press box.
Well, it's not the press box. It's the it's press box adjacent. It's not in the press box. So as this is going, we go up there. We're watching the game. It's, you know, Brewers get beat. They didn't play well. Gave up too much early. You know, it just was a sloppy game for the crew. But all of a sudden, I'm sitting there, and I didn't know. I'm talking to our guy who is taking care of us all day, and he leaves. It's about, I don't know, the fourth inning or so, and you know, we're sitting there. Max goes to get a soda, and I'm just sitting there in the booth, just kind of minding my P's and Q's in between innings. I'm looking on Twitter and whatever else, and all of a sudden, Max comes in, and I swear to God, I had no clue that I was on the Jumbotron. He says, "Dad, you're on the Jumbotron." And that's when I looked up, and I'm like, oh. And I waved, and that was – and then Riley – there it is. And then Riley Yauch, I don't know, 20 minutes later, is also on the Jumbotron. So a lot of Jumbotron for the ESPN Madison team yesterday.
What the hell was Riley Yauch on the Jumbotron for?
He did the
I still don't know.
He did the crazy cap shuffle. He was selected, I believe, truly at random to do the crazy cap shuffle. One of the hallmarks of in-game entertainment at American Family Field.
Not for the hot dog or for the sausage race, though.
He just did
the crazy cap shuffle.
Obviously, the sausage race is a league of its own. But as far as like the fan-selected entertainment, Riley being selected to do the crazy cap shuffle, it's like prime positioning for in-game entertainment in the fourth inning, and he got it right. Made it easy for him because the entire stadium, once it gets done, everyone yells what number it is. Everyone goes, two.
Are you questioning whether he would have gotten it on his own? Is that what you just did?
I think I have it on good authority, according to a source close to the situation, that Riley did not know what the actual cap the ball was under.
Just wait a second. He really didn't. That couldn't have been easier. This wasn't like a hard game of three-card Monty on the streets in Nolens.
I mean, first of all,
where you end up losing a couple hundred bucks.
They upped it from three caps to five a few years ago, so it's a lot more difficult. Now, a lot more movement going on, bouncing all around.
I don't think it could have been easier.
Again, a source close to the situation confirmed yesterday, quote, "I didn't really know."
So the source was Riley?
Maybe.
Way to keep your sources under your hat,
but the entire,
so to speak.
All 30,000 fans in attendance yelling, two, usually a dead giveaway that it's under cap number
two.
Yeah,
but the Price is Right used to do that, and they'd be wrong. They could have just as easily been wrong.
You think all 30,000 people saw the wrong cap with the ball under it? You think that?
Well, I hear there's five caps. It's very confusing.
Yeah, it's a lot harder than it used to be.
What Jesse, were you in the sun yesterday? Were you sitting in the sun?
Yes, we were out in the sun. And
it's hot. It was. I did not realize. Mm-hmm. I have to be better at looking at forecasts and things. It was 90 degrees, if my math was right.
Yeah, and I brought a yellow Brewers T-shirt with me. I left it in the car, and I decided not to go get it. So I was wearing a black ESPN Wisconsin polo throughout the game, sitting in the sun yesterday. That was not comfortable. And what you know what was worse? So we were there with a bunch of our ESPN Madison teammates, and two of them got up to go get a beverage, a Coors Light, up on the concourse. So it was me and one other person sitting down there for I don't know, we thought it was going to be an inning or so, you know, whatever standard. One of the concession stands was right above our section, very easy to run up and get a drink. They're gone for two innings. And it's like the fifth, sixth inning when we're starting to think, okay, it's getting pretty hot. Brewers aren't looking too good. That's maybe time to start thinking about beating traffic time. We couldn't even get
the traffic beater.
But one of them left a purse down by the seats, and we're the only two there from the group. So we couldn't get up to get out of the sun because we didn't want to leave the purse sitting there. So we had to sit in the sun and bake. And then we find out, they went down to section 120, whatever. We got some friends down here. Come on down. We're like, what the...
Did you bring the purse?
We ended up carrying the purse. So they didn't even come back to get the purse. So we ended up sitting in there for 2.5 innings in the hot baking sun in a black polo because we're responsible for a purse. And they're like, they're not even coming back. Oh, we went down over here.
So what would the protocol have been? Let's say Becca called you and said, hey, the dog had a run to the vet. I need you home now. Do you take the purse with you? Because it's not on you to do it, but you don't want to be a jerk. Let's say you needed to leave. What is the protocol on that?
Well, I drove separate from some of the other members of the team. So I would, in this particular case, I would have been able to get up and left the other teammate there, like, alone with the purse.
Couldn't you just text Riley and say, hey, Riley, you forgot your purse?
Well, that's the other thing. Riley goes to do the crazy cap shuffle. He doesn't come back for, like, four innings. And then we find out they ended up meeting up with the group that left. So basically, John and I got left in the dust, sitting in the seats in the hot sun for 2.5 innings, while everybody else is playing crazy cap shuffles and
Tosh
meeting
up on
with
the
friends
Jumbotron.
And getting Coors Lights and sitting in the air conditioning. Yeah. This actually sucked for John and I yesterday compared to the time everyone else got to have.
So is it just me, or has there been a very high concentration in the first 17 minutes of this program of complaining?
I didn't complain about the Brewers game at all.
But
I complained about you a little bit.
Hey, Chad
you
Patrick.
Complained about the summer schedule.
I did.
Complained about me somehow.
Dig yourself a 5-0
really
hole.
You. You
back.
Adjacent. Not. Yeah, well, the Brewers game. Yeah, the actual Brewers, they didn't hit a lick.
And plenty to complain
about. That was as easy of
Trey
a...
Trey Jackson,
that was
Churio.
As easy of a...
You know how hard it is for another pitcher to throw a complete game against you in today's baseball? And
well, it was so easy. Yeah, it was just an easy day for him.
Yeah. Nine innings. Tough. Hit the ball.
Yep. Everybody left after eight, too. Like, it was actually nice for us that stayed for the whole game. Everybody was leaving after eight. 6-2, don't they know the Braves' bullpen stinks? Like, this thing was still, you know, and of course, none of that ever
Never
came
got to
fruition.
The bullpen.
And the people that left early probably were happier than sitting in traffic as long.
So, Jesse, when did you leave then?
I stayed through the end. I was there all nine innings, and then I didn't get home till almost 6 o'clock. There was some traffic getting out of downtown. There was
Would you like to complain about the traffic too while we're at it?
No.
Just wait a second. You didn't get out. You didn't get home till six.
About six. Yeah.
The heck were you? You will find. Did you purposely look on Waze to find the worst traffic so you didn't have to go back to work? Because we left after the game was over as well. There's a lot of people, and there was traffic. And I think we got home at like 4:45. And we literally came the same way.
There is no way you got home at 4:45.
I can assure you that we did get home because we had a baseball practice at 5:30. So I can assure you we got home at 4:45.
I guess I just drive slow. I don't know what to tell you.
Is it time to upgrade your driving and get moving a little bit faster? Yes, for Jesse. Is it time to upgrade your windows and doors and you don't want to spend a fortune? Well, Pella is the best in the industry and has a product line for every budget. Right now, you can get no interest and no payments for up to 2 years. So if the plan is to wait, guess what? You can get it now and wait to start making payments up to 2 years later. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends at the end of June. Set your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
I don't know what we're going to complain about next, but we'll be here, so stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
When you tell me I'm a wreck, you say that I'm a mess. How could you expect?
So I have one follow-up question, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll get to Packers minicamp and everything else we've got planned for today's show.
Can't hear about this big touchdown. This sounds like Favre to Rison in Super Bowl whatever, number 31. This Tutter at Jordan. I can't wait to get a breakdown detail by detail. It looks awesome.
It was a hell of a throw, and it must have been special because the Packers violated their own policy and posted video of it on their social media channels.
Wow. Did he burn Bo Melton on the route?
Bo Melton was not the pass catcher, nor was he in coverage. Gregory Jr. And then Evan Williams ranging over toward the end were the guys in coverage. Mecole Hardman for the second straight day, ending practice with a touchdown. We'll get to that coming up. My question for you is this. Riley was obviously participating in a game when he was on the Jumbotron. I do not have any Jumbotron experience. I've never been in the Kiss Cam. I have never, you know, some of these venues, they do the look-alike thing, which makes it onto social media. I usually get a good chuckle out of that. What is proper, oh my God, I'm on the Jumbotron etiquette when you realize you are on there? You said that you didn't know until Max told you.
Correct. So for me, if it's at a Wisconsin game, or I think just acknowledging that you're there and, hey, thank you. I love the W, but I don't do a great W. Like, it's, I get a lot of grief for my, the W is what I, kind of my go-to. I don't know what, it's a weird deal. I don't know if I just, it's not dexterous enough, but
that's pretty good.
Is that a good W, or does it look like two L's?
Better W's fine.
Okay.
It's fine W.
Double L's.
Jesse, you've criticized my W in the past. That made me very self-conscious.
I have?
So,
oh, boy.
Somebody did. Maybe it wasn't you.
Probably was.
But I am one, and this is going to sound crazy. I've just come to grips. I would rather not be on the Jumbotron. That's just me. Mm-hmm. It was very nice that they did that yesterday, but I'm fine with not. But I think just the – I think the wave is the right way to go. I don't know what you want to bow.
You like the point and the head nod. You've always talked about that, the kind of faux salute. So I'm just curious what you went with. That's all.
The faux salute. I saw something yesterday that I thought was they had a World War II vet come out, and I don't know if he threw out the first pitch.
Yeah, it was his 100th birthday yesterday.
Yeah, it was really cool. Yeah.
Was his throw better than Jordan Love's?
Yes.
I don't even know if I saw it. I knew Jordan threw out the first pitch. I didn't see the actual result of it.
It's the ethos pitch.
It's just so cool to see, you know, this.
Sure.
But that, you know, we give ourselves a lot of grief and have fun with the thank you for your service, because I get that a lot when people, thanks for your years of service for the Packers, that there's all that, and it's always third, fifth on the list. That's where I don't – I'm not messing with that. That is, to me, a pretty sacred deal. So that
would agree.
The salute – I know TD used to do that with Denver. That's something I'm not – so I just think the
but
old –
that head tap thing that you were I don't know what it was, but you were trying
– I think
you were
that's
like, – you were like workshopping
it,
like bowling
trying to make that
corner.
Your signature move. And post COVID, it was going to replace
the
handshake.
That's too close to it.
Tapping elbows.
Yeah, I think the W is kind of where I'm going to go. Like when I
but
know
not
it's
yesterday.
Coming, that's where
yesterday
I
you waved.
To. Well, I didn't know. Again, I was yesterday was just hey, here you are. Oh my God, what's okay? Boom.
Did you realize they were playing Bang the Drum when they showed you up? On there, they changed the music in the
for that one touchdown you scored on Christmas that Gray Rugemer ruined with his holding penalty.
I didn't know any of that, Jesse. No, I was not. Yeah, I'm being perfectly honest, I wasn't paying attention.
So they changed the music, but they didn't give you a caption saying, like, you know, I think when you were on at the Bucks game, they gave you like Mark Tauscher.
Packers yeah, good
Hall
caption
of Famer.
At the Bucks.
Yeah,
game.
No caption.
Yeah.
Oh wait. So do you think people knew who he was?
Interesting that you asked that, because Max asked me that very question. He said, how many people in this stadium right now
great
know
question,
who you
Max.
Are?
Love it.
It is. He's starting to get way more analytical than I would like. And I didn't know the answer. I told him I would think it would be around 50% is what I thought.
Okay.
Which,
you've
if there's
been retired 15 years, that's important.
25,000 people. So we did a – I'm going to tell you what we did. So as we were walking out, he said, I'm going to set the over-under at
We're
eight people.
Over-unders.
He did. He still doesn't understand how to set line. Like, he doesn't fully understand the terminology.
Sure.
He set it at eight.
Probably good.
And all I'm going to tell you is we blew by that number in a large way. That's all I'll tell you.
And how did you? And how did he do it?
He counted waves and or hey Tausch or hey, that was the acknowledgement. I didn't do it. I just walked, and that was the acknowledgement. And so we blew by the number eight. I'll say that.
That's great. Well, good. It's good to know you're still popular.
We're a bigger deal than we think we are. Theme of the month.
That does continue to be the theme around here, especially in jury boxes throughout Dane County. All right, I do want to get to Packers minicamp both. Literally, by getting over there, and figuratively, by talking about it. We'll do that coming up, but I got to tell you first about Associated Bank. You talk about being with us from the very beginning. They've been with us from the very beginning as a show, and they've been with the Packers from the very beginning back in 1919. They were there when the Packers were founded, and they're there now with the best customer service in the industry. They love to say, branches don't make a bank local, roots do. Well, they got a lot of branches, and they definitely have Wisconsin roots. So go to AssociatedBank.com, find out more about early pay, about credit monitoring, about fraud protection, everything they do to make sure your money is safe and fluid for you when you need it. AssociatedBank.com. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app, customizable just to you. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today.
Hold on, I don't want to know what it's like when you're gone. I don't want to move on. I don't want to know what it's like when you're gone for good. You're slipping through my fingertips a little.
Well, the Tausch rolls on. I'm going to head to Packers minicamp. The final day of the offseason program is today, the final practice. And then we will be back at it on July 22nd with the start of the dream drive and the first practice of camp and all that good stuff. We look forward to that. But look forward to getting away from it for a little while, too. I'm sure the players do as well. But we'll see what Mecole Hardman does on the final practice play of today, given that he's ended each of the last two practices with touchdown catches. 2 days ago, it was a desperation, he did what? Heave by Sean Clifford into the end zone at the end of the third string two-minute drill. And then yesterday, controversial, many believing, and even Matt LaFleur acknowledging that it was questionable whether Jordan Love got the ball off. But a 73, 74? Conflicting reports on the distance. But a 70-plus yard touchdown pass dropped it in the bucket to Mecole Hardman, who had gotten behind Gregory Jr. For the touchdown. And given their wide receiver competition, not as important as his touchdown catch to win the Super Bowl a couple years ago, but an important play for Mecole Hardman. Tausch, you saw this. They should have had, like, John Facenda's voice narrating it as the play unfolded. They made a big deal out of it. What'd you think?
You asked yesterday, like, how much stock to take into all this stuff, and I said not a ton. But I think you want to see guys emerging, and there is, I think, the concept of, oh, they signed Mecole Hardman. I don't know what, you know, he's exactly going to bring to the table. And I think it's always nice when you can kind of put a little reminder out there. Hey, I know you got some new toys on Christmas, a.k.a. the draft. And I know everybody is excited about Golden, excited about Williams and the roles that they're hoping they can play. But there's also, hey, don't forget about me. I'm here making some plays. And, again, I think the biggest thing for mini camps, OTAs, are getting yourself on the radar and positioning yourself to earn more opportunities during training camp preseason to allow yourself to find your role for a football team. And, yeah, Jordan Love, it's awesome that he had that throw. That's, I think you would probably put that in the wow category.
No doubt. Yep. Now, but I'm glad you bring that up.
All
if
of
I
that's
may interrupt
great.
You.
Yeah, absolutely you can.
Because, and again, this is a frustration for me. I was discussing it this morning with Jen Gabe and Shuey. Yeah, it was a magnificent throw. It's great. But at one point yesterday, and maybe we'll get to this a little bit later in the show, Pete Doherty from the Green Bay Press Gazette asked Matt LaFleur, how many starts or games do you need before you know what a quarterback is? And Matt LaFleur did say, I think we know what Jordan is. Now, he didn't say what Jordan is. He didn't go into detail on what he thinks Jordan is. But I have been frustrated, and there's Michael in the YouTube comments. There's some other folks on social media that I occasionally see responding to things completely tangentially to what the actual tweet is that they're replying to suggest that I don't think Jordan Love is very good. That could not be further from the truth.
No, who said
just
that you
people
think that?
In the YouTube comments, people on social media. I feel like it's our job to honestly critique the good, the bad, the indifferent. And you and I were as guilty as literally anyone in the Packers fan base of crowning Jordan Love after what he did the final eight regular season games, the playoff game in Dallas, and the first three quarters against San Francisco prematurely. And yes, he had injuries, yes, he had drops, but he also had moments where he needed to be better. And we don't give passes to other quarterbacks who play injured. Aaron Rodgers, broken thumb, 2022. Like, we don't. So my issue is, I think Jordan Love is a good quarterback. I saw Dan Graziano wrote about this when he did his all 32 team observation thing. He wrote that he thinks Jordan Love is very, very good, but he's got to be better for the Packers to get to where they need to go. And I'm not saying Dan Graziano listens to this show or reads what I write, but that's exactly what I've been maintaining. I don't think that's an unfair position to hold about Jordan Love. And his throw yesterday with pressure in his face, regardless of whether or not it should have counted and he would have been sacked in a real game, was a magnificent, majestic, phenomenal throw. Under duress, 70 yards in the air, amazing. Now, he is also, in his last five quarters of playoff football, thrown five interceptions. That is also a fact. So I am going to stand on the same point again and again and again, and that is, this is a pivotal year to figure out who he really is. And Matt LaFleur can say he knows, but if he plays at the level we think he's capable of, but he hasn't done consistently,
But if he plays at that level this year, they're going to be in an NFC Championship game playing for a trip to the Super Bowl. I believe that.
Oh, wow. Bold.
Yeah.
What if he plays like he did last year? What are you going to say? All right, we're doing this show 6/12/2026, God willing. What are you going to say if he has almost the exact same season he had last year?
Without injury problems?
The exact same season he had last year.
I'm going to keep saying that I think he's a good quarterback and they can win with him, but he's not a great quarterback. Which I don't understand why that's such a controversial take.
It's not. If it's a pivotal year and you have a lot of money coming due, I don't know when the outs are, and I'm not saying that's the case. What I'm asking is, if he has another season like this, not the last six games of 2024, 2023, whatever, 2020, whatever year it was.
2023, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How are we going to address it? Because I think even how he played last year, and it was not consistent, you can win with Jordan Love playing that way. We want to see more. So when you keep saying it's such a pivotal year, I mean, yes, it would be awesome to see him take the Rodgers year three jump. The Favre year three jump. It's a big deal in quarterback circles. You're feeling more consistent. You know now how defenses are going to attack you. But he's going to be the quarterback for the foreseeable future here. Unless he completely blanks the bed, he's going to be the guy. So when you keep saying pivotal year, I just wonder what is that fulcrum point that you actually think is going to happen?
I think it's a pivotal year if he's going to be great. It's not a pivotal year for whether he's going to still be employed by the Packers or if they could still win with him. But I do think that there are folks, and look, maybe they're right. I have no problem saying maybe they're right. But for the crowd that believes he is going to be an MVP, a Super Bowl champion, a multi-Pro Bowl, multi-All-Pro, that he's basically going to be Favre, Rodgers, Love, great player, great player, great player. Hall of Famer, I mean, that seems unfair to try and project that. But if you're in the crowd that believes he is going to be on par with those other two, then this is a pivotal year for him to show that he is capable of doing that for a longer period of time, more consistently, that he's able to elevate his team, right? There's a difference between we can win with him and we win because of him. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying he has to be that guy, but if he's going to be the guy that a lot of people think he is or want him to be, this is a pivotal year.
Yeah, I just look at it differently, and that doesn't mean, like, I'd love to see him be the MVP. And a matter of fact, after that throw yesterday, I can't wait to get down to Hard Rock Casino Rockford. I am excited about a little something-something on a maybe a little on a really nice stretched-out odds on an MVP because it's – so we'll see. But there is – I'm just not going to panic. We've seen enough to know that he can be a big boy quarterback in this league. I know that. Now it comes down to, is he going to put the work in to be consistent? I don't have any question he's going to put the work in.
I agree.
I think he's got everything you need, and I think he's got the skill set to do it. And if he doesn't rip off an MVP year or have one of those big boy years, I don't think I'm going to be – I mean, will I be a little more discouraged? Yeah, maybe a little bit. But this – you continue to say this, but then when you make statements like the, well, this is a pivotal year, you always say growth isn't linear.
It's not.
Isn't that what you always say?
Mm-hmm.
So there are setbacks, and there are things that don't go according to plan. And at some point, it does have to come down to it's all about production. I think the biggest thing is he has to have a better understanding of what you need in every game. Not every game needs to be a 400-yard-plus game. When you see a team that can't move the football and is inept, you maybe understand, I don't need to take some of these risks. I don't need to be and I know I keep coming back to the Clark Kent and Superman, but it's 100% right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because it fits this so perfectly.
It does. I agree.
You just don't need to be caping it up all the time. And I think if you look at what Josh Allen did last year, I don't know how many years he's been starting, 4 or 5. He tried to Superman it 2 seasons ago, and he had Evan Cohen and national media saying he stinks because he kept averaging a turnover or 2 a game. You can't win that way. So when you have a game, Patrick Mahomes on their side, and it's a shootout. Let's go. I got to rip it. I got to put my cape on. But then when you're playing, what was that quarterback's name? Rippin? Wyatt Rippin from the Rams a couple years ago?
Brett Rippin.
Brett Rippin.
Brett Rippin? I'm sorry, dude. You can hang in the phone booth for the day. Don't rip off your clothes. Keep the glasses on. Go write an article. Methodically win it and move on with your life. That's the understanding you need to have, and I think that's where I'm looking to see that growth more than I know he can rip it. I know he has the arm. I know he's got the I know he's got everything you need. It's about learning what you need to do to win consistently in this league, and that takes some time. It's not linear, as you like to say.
So, all right, so I'm glad you brought up that phrase because I do firmly believe in that phrase, and we all should be growing all the time. None of us has arrived in whatever it is we do. I also believe that. At the same time, my question would be, at what point in a quarterback's journey do we stop talking about them in terms of their growth and improvement? And at what point do we say, this is who he is? And while he can still evolve and improve, he is who he is now, and he will still grow in different ways. When is that?
It's a really good question. Because
I think after this year, we should stop playing Jordan's still growing into, like Aaron Rodgers in year 3 and year 4, no one was saying, well, you know, he's still growing. In year 4, he was the NFL MVP.
I said that about Rashawn Gary. Like, that doesn't mean he can't get better, but Rashawn Gary is who he is. Now, with the new coach, maybe he'll add. I don't know how you can say what you just said, where you should never stop growing and you should be evolving. And I'm actually not even being a dinkus here. I'm literally saying.
Change of pace.
Wow. You just said that, and the point is you have to figure out different ways. Vinny Testaverde was a bust. And after a few years, people probably are like, well, that's who Vinny Testaverde is. And then Vinny ended up evolving and ended up being a guy that he was never a Hall of Fame quarterback, like everybody anticipated when Tampa drafted him. But then he evolved and became a quarterback you could win with, and they were close to winning a championship with him. Mm-hmm. So I get what you're saying, and I think it's a very fair question. But you have to remember, he's year 6, year 7, but he's really starting his 3rd season. And if this is who he is, then I guess you could say this is his pivotal year. And if he has a down year, then if you're at Packers brass, are you saying, well, this is just who he is? Or is it, I saw what he was and what he did, and that's what I want more of? How do you balance that? I just think there's more growth. I think there's more growth opportunities, and I'm not just set on saying, well, whatever happens this year, this is who he is. I just don't know if I can get there.
Well, I would say at some point we stop saying, oh, well, he could become this. And I don't think it's right now. I do think this is an immense year of growth for him. Don't listen to me. Listen to Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs flat out told him, it's time for you to be the guy. So if you don't like my take, take Josh Jacobs' take instead. It is time for him to be the guy. And do I believe he's capable of being the guy? I absolutely do. So if you think that I am a Jordan Love hater, you're just flat out wrong.
I don't know anyone that listens to this show, how anyone would say that you're a Jordan Love
hater. Now you understand why it's frustrating to me. And it's not just one person. Sure. Like, it's not just me taking that from one random tweets.
Pack Attack it, guy. Pack Attack guy was after you.
Count Pacula.
And I hope Count Pacula apologized to you because you were right.
Not to my knowledge.
Pacula was wrong.
And it's okay if he didn't apologize. I'm also not going to seek legal.
How does that
action.
Old Real World saying? What was that old Real World? Remember the old show Real World? I didn't watch it, but I remember the clips.
True story.
At the end of it, they'd say when it blank and starts getting real. What was that saying? Do you remember at the beginning or end of the show? It's like
stop being polite and start being real or something like that.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's where we're at with Jordan. Right? I mean, I'd have to re-litigate that quote. I don't know exactly what it was before I can confirm it. But as you were saying that, that thought popped into my head.
Yeah. I just think it's going to be a really interesting year. And if he stays healthy, I think he's going to play really well. So if you think that that's too negative for your liking, I don't know what to tell you.
This is the true story of seven strangers picked to live in a house, work together, and have their lives taped to find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
There you have it.
There you go. That's it.
Well,
might be the story of the 2025 Green Bay Packers.
I never thought Real
that
World. Does that make him Puck? Wasn't he the instigator?
Puck? I think he was part of it. Again, that wasn't my jam. I just remember that saying. And I think that I don't believe that with the way things have went, this team needs to win the North. This team needs to win the North.
We will talk more about Packers minicamp, and then I will head to Packers minicamp. Coming up, I want to remind you, if you've been injured in an accident, I hope you haven't been. I really do. I hope you never have to call them. But if you have been injured, you have to make the call. Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. 414-276-6666, 414-276-6666. Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. More Wildy and Tausch is straight ahead. Stick around.
The Milwaukee Brewers, the St. Louis Cardinals.
Caleb Durbin comes out of nowhere and makes a leaping catch and bangs into the tarp. Durbin made a tremendous catch.
Tonight on 100.5 ESPN.
Switch on the sky and the stars glow for you. Go see the world because it's all so brand new. Don't close your eyes because your future's ready to shine. It's just a matter of time before we learn how to fly.
Yeah, I think it's been as good as it could have been in terms of just we're so limited in what we can do. But in terms of working on the core fundamentals and being consistent with that, I think he's done a nice job.
That is Matt LaFleur, who repeatedly, at least a dozen times, and we've only talked to him twice. Well, I guess he talked after the two OTA practices as well. He just keeps going back to the limitations of the offseason and what they're allowed to do. And Scotty Wells standing there observing whether they're having too much contact. I mentioned to Matt yesterday the story of Jeff Saturday turning to us, the beat writer, standing on the sideline during a offseason program practice in 2012. Does that look like non-contact to you guys? You should write about that. So they're following the rules.
For the listeners that aren't on video, Jason did a heavy eye roll.
Yeah.
Like you didn't want Jeff Saturday telling you what to write.
Well, again, that's a whole nother issue. To me, if you're the NFLPA, let's spend a little less time trying to get more time off in the off season and trying to lessen the workload of practices. Let's spend a little more time getting extended health care benefits and more things to keep your players safe and protected from debilitating injuries.
I think what you're trying to say is let's stop being polite and let's make it real.
Yeah.
Is that what you're trying to say there?
That's not what I'm trying to say at all, but yeah, I know you like that quote. Jesse, anything from the Carbless Talking text line 844-770-3776 that has caught your attention before I head over to practice?
Yeah, so first the quick one. Matt in West Bend says, so last year was Friends, this year is the real world. Are we ready to commit to that?
Can't wait till we get to MASH. Enough. I don't know enough about that show. I don't have enough reference points, so I can't go down that road. But if one of you can. It's just, it does feel like, and Jason's talking about tipping points and pivotal seasons and fulcrums. I just think this is about getting real this season. You got to be real with where you're at, and this team needs to recapture the North. Period. Finn. That needs to be the goal. Minnesota's up there. It sounds like their quarterback can't hit the broadside of a barn, by what it sounds like from your buddies reporting up there.
Mm-hmm.
The Bears are the Bears, and Detroit, it'll be a challenge, no doubt. But we're sitting here. We should be in position that the North should be recaptured, and that's just keeping it real.
That's you, Puck.
Long text.
Woo, Dale.
It's a good point, I promise. Pushing back on Tausch, which we know everybody likes around here.
Oh, I agree with that. Tausch.
Didn't Love already prove that he's good at deciding when to put the cape on and when to keep it off? Last year, no. He took a backseat to Josh Jacobs at times, but when we played the big boys, the Vikings, Eagles, and Lions, he put the cape on. For
all
me,
games they well, lost.
Pause. Yeah, pause. Yeah. Pause. If he put the cape on in those games, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. If those were cape games, four picks or three picks against Philly, those were not cape games, people.
Three or four against Minnesota? Yeah.
For me, more so than deciding when to put the cape on, we need to know if he can put the cape on and minimize turnovers. I think he can, but I want to see it this year. Dale in Reedsburg.
Okay, so now this point from Dale. We've seen him put the cape on, and he has flown, and he's flown beautifully. You can look back at Kansas City. We can look at Detroit up there a couple. And again, this is more back. I'm not saying he caped up last year. I'm saying when he tried, it wasn't great.
He completed so how much 12 passes in the game against Detroit in Detroit.
I'm talking about the Thanksgiving Day. I'm talking about when he was Cape City.
2 years ago.
2 years ago, Jay.
Well,
I'm not talking last year.
When we played the big boys, he put the cape on.
No, I know.
He threw three picks against the Vikings.
In fairness to me, I paused and said, whoa, I don't agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going back two seasons ago when he was Cape City, USA. That last year, I continue to come back to this point. How many games did we see four quarters of, wow, was that consistent good football by this offense? And the answer was minimal at best. There were some cape plays, the throw against the Texans in the end zone, where everybody superimposed stuff. That was Cape City. We didn't see a lot of Cape City last year. We need more cape. I'm not telling you not to cape. I'm saying pick your spots, but when you do it, you better fly. That's the whole point of Superman. If Superman can't fly, I'm sorry, he's Jason Wilde, writing a nice little article for Channel 3000, putting his glasses on, chasing Lois around for a date, taking his kids to tennis and golf. That's cute. I need to see a cape. I need to see a fly. Otherwise, you're just Clark Blankenkent.
I like to think of myself as Super Dad, but that's another story for another day.
I think Dale's point.
Oh, I guarantee you feel that way, and I wouldn't be shocked if you had a cape. And knowing all the costumes you guys do at your house, I wouldn't be shocked if you had a cape walking around when you're taking – you got Sid going to gymnastics, and, man, you put the cape on the car. Oh, look at me. I'm Super Dad. Yeah, I could totally see you being – I 100% think that you have a cape that you're going to sell on your little Poshmark deal at some point when you're going to hang it up. Do capes hang? Do you use those hangers for your capes?
Being a dad, you never hang up the cape. It's a lifelong job.
How do you put your cape away?
I don't have a cape. I hate
Jesse. Do you think he's got a cape?
No.
I think he does.
What I do have.
Like sometimes he might put the, like, you know, when you're a kid, you put the towel around you, and then you, like, jump in the pool off the diving board. He might do that now and then, but I don't think he has an actual cape.
I also don't have a pool anymore, so I don't have a diving board. What I do have is a mattress from Steinhoffels, and nothing beats a great night's sleep on a beauty rest from Steinhoffels. Right now, you'll get a free foundation when you buy a Beautyrest Black or World Class mattress. Queen mattresses start at just $30 per month when you use Steinhoffel's 60-month financing. And with Steinhoffel's 110% price guarantee, 120-night sleep guarantee, and free delivery, you cannot make a mistake. So don't overpay for a good night's sleep. Shop Steinhoffel's in-store and online at steinhoffels.com. And I think next week we may have some breaking news regarding a long-standing Steinhoffels controversy? No. Storyline? Narrative about the Wilde family and Steinhoffels. We may...
Don't tell me.
We
Don't
may...
Don't tell me it's nine years.
Our long national nightmare may be over. We'll talk about it next week sometime when it becomes hopefully official. The I's have not been dotted, the T's have not been crossed, but we're on the verge. I am on the verge of heading to Lambeau Field for minicamp practice, which is already underway. Tausch and Jesse will take over for a little while on Wilde and Tausch. Stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.